If you can turn with me to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. See, in the church we emphasize godliness, the secret of godliness, that Christ came in the flesh and was tempted like us and overcame. This has been the truth on which we have proclaimed constantly. That, along with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, these are the two great truths on which CFC was founded. To be filled with the Spirit and to take up the cross and follow in Jesus' footsteps, who was tempted like us but never sinned. That's our calling. And all those who are gripped by that calling will become part of the body that Christ is building in many CFC churches around the world. We can't say for definite that everybody sitting in a CFC church is necessarily gripped by the truth of the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit every single day and the necessity of taking up the cross daily and following Jesus' footsteps to overcome sin. We can't say that everyone who listens to the messages, even online like this, is gripped by it, but I trust that many of you are gripped, and I trust that many of you will be gripped pretty soon if you're not already gripped. That is the only worthwhile life living on this earth, and we will discover that when Christ comes again if you don't discover it now, and then it'll be too late. We must realize now that the only worthwhile life that we can live on this earth is a life of godliness, following in Jesus' footsteps. But here in 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 we are told, godliness is actually a means of great gain only when it is accompanied with contentment. Godliness by itself, without contentment, is not real godliness. If you're always wishing for something more, then you're not content. Not when we think of wishing for something more, I'm not only talking about money. You can wish for some gift that God hasn't given you, which is given to somebody else, and you keep wishing that you had that, perhaps to get some honor for yourself. Why do you wish to have the gift that you admire in another brother? Ask yourself honestly, isn't it for honor? I mean, I can't imagine that you're thinking of blessing the body of Christ. Because to bless the body of Christ, you can only do it with the gift God has given you, not with the gift God's given to somebody else. If the hand is always wishing that it were the tongue, because the tongue is speaking, will never fulfill its job as a hand. Because first of all, it cannot speak. But it can do amazing things with these five fingers. And I believe God can do amazing things with you if you are content with whatever gift God has given you, instead of wishing that you had somebody else's gift. I've seen this in many, many people, young people I can understand because they are foolish and ignorant. But even after they are believers for many years, they don't seem to give up this habit of wanting what God has not given them. And I'm not thinking only of money. I'm thinking of many other things. If God hasn't given you resources and physical resources and comfortable living compared to others, be content with what you have. Because godliness without contentment is not real godliness. It's a counterfeit. It's very clear here. Godliness is a means of great gain. That means, great gain means what? You go and tell a businessman you can make a great gain. What does he think of? Something that will make him supremely happy, which is making a lot of money, his business prospering in every way. Now apply that to our lives spiritually. Great gain, tremendous gain and profit if your godliness is accompanied with contentment. That you can say you're content when you say, Lord, I don't have a single complaint against any of my circumstances. I don't have a complaint about the state of my health. I don't have a complaint about how much money you give me to live on every month. I don't have a complaint about the fellowship you have given me in the church. I'm not wishing for a better church. I mean, if I can, I will join the best church of all. But if God has not permitted you in your circumstances to find such a place, be content with where you are, because there God can bless you abundantly. Even if you're all alone in some place and you don't have any fellowship at all, there are many brothers like that in different parts of the world who are all alone. Maybe some of you don't have a fellowship that satisfies you like another, and you wish that you could be part of RLCF or something if you live there. But God has not arranged that for you. If you can move there, it's excellent. But if God has not made it possible for you to move out of your locality, then be content, because in the place where God has put you, He can bless you beyond anything you can imagine. And don't think that if you move to another place, you're going to be happy. Happiness comes through being content at each time with whatever circumstances God has given us. Yeah, we can always aim for something better, but what I mean is, if God doesn't grant that, then be content with what you are, because then you will have great gain. Godliness will not bring great gain if underneath it, you're always a bit discontent with something in your life. There are people who've been married for years who are a little discontented with their partner. Are you? Can you honestly say, those of you who are married, that you're perfectly content? I'm not saying your partner is perfect. Let me just inform you that there's nobody in the world that's perfect. You're not perfect yourself. You've got to be very conceited to think that an imperfect person like you should get a perfect partner. Isn't that how a lot of people are looking for the perfect partner? An imperfect person looking for a perfect partner. That's absolute conceit. Humble yourself, brother, sister, and say, I'm imperfect. So God in His great wisdom, and to make sure that somebody doesn't get cheated by marrying me, gave me an imperfect partner. Say that. So don't ever complain against your partner in marriage, because God saw your condition and gave you something, someone exactly suited for you. So don't think you can ever be godly, ever. However many meetings like this you attend, you will never be godly if you don't learn contentment. And perhaps the first area we need to learn contentment is with our circumstances. If you're married, with your wife, with your husband, to be perfectly content. That means you can praise the Lord for your marriage, not because your partner is perfect. Let me tell you, in case you did not know it, there's nobody on earth who's perfect. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, we will be perfect only, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, we'll be perfect only when Christ comes again. We'll be like Him, then we'll be perfect. But see, it should be so obvious to everyone that you're not perfect, and therefore you cannot expect a perfect partner. God gives us something exactly equal to us. See, it's like these two hands, for example. God has made these two hands and the body so perfectly equal, then when you put them together, they fit. The middle finger is the same size, and the third fingers are the same size, and the little fingers are the same size, the thumb is the same size. Wouldn't it be ugly if one was so much bigger than the other? Think of husband and wife like this. Whatever you are like, God has given you a wife exactly suited to you. Be content. Let's start with that. Be content with the circumstances God has placed you in. For those of you who are not married, by all means, there's nothing wrong in seeking to get married if you're young. But until God does that, seek earnestly. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I encourage all young people to seek earnestly, prayerfully, for a partner, but until God gives you, be content with what you have while you're pressing on for something else. The same way with employment. There's nothing wrong in seeking a better job. There's nothing wrong in seeking a higher salary. Cost of living is going up all the time. There's absolutely nothing wrong in seeking a better job and finding a better salary or going to another location to find a job and a higher salary. But in all these things, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God first. Don't sacrifice the values of the kingdom in order to get something, because that way you will not get. I can tell you from 65 years of being a born-again believer, throughout my life, whatever circumstance God put me in, I thank the Lord and praise the Lord. Sometimes it was very, very difficult, but I praise the Lord because that's what He had determined for me. And if that's what He's determined for me, then it must be the very best.